Yeah, it's like in hindsight, when I thought about it, I said, dang, am I really about to do a name change? I thought about it. I was like, you know what? And literally that day, I was really contemplating it. I actually reached out to Frankie and got her advice on it. But before I reached out to her, I remember, I can't remember who I was following, but somebody posted something Dragon Ball related, like it was like Dragon Ball cosplay. And I must have, it was like a Dragon Ball cosplay. And I don't know why I clicked in the comments. Maybe I was clicking the comments to say how much I liked it. And as I noticed, it's like 2,000 comments already. And you just scroll and you just see this fandom of just, I don't even want to talk about it. It was just bad. I'm like, yo, who, literally in my mind, it's like, yo, who raised you niggas? Like, I want to know who raised y'all so I can slap them and you, because it's like, it ain't that deep. Like, your favorite character wouldn't even act like this to anybody. Like, I think people kind of get outside the realm when they like get upset about a favorite character. I'm just like, would your favorite character condone these actions?
Pod, everybody, and shout out to you for showing up to the convo. This is Big Titan Talk with your girl, the Anime Nay, and today I am joined by Mr. Shango Sims here on the pod. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
So you are an amazing blurred content creator. I love that word, by the way. I like love the word blurred. But yeah, I mean, you literally do it all. We were just kind of talking about that. Anime, comics, and fitness.
I try. Like, I definitely try on the fitness thing. It's a long uphill battle with fitness. Like, it becomes a lifestyle way before it becomes a hobby, and you just got to go from there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But, you know, we have another superhuman strongman on the pod, so I'm excited about that. Yeah, so I saw on your Instagram that you do some power scaling. I watched your video on Guy Sensei versus Madara. So I love, love, love power scaling videos and like all of those like versus videos. I kind of wanted to start getting into that myself, but it's so hard. Like there's so much that goes into power scaling. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. So how did you get into that?
So I always say this when it comes to making a content video like that. Go with what you know. Go with what you know. Double check, research, find video evidence, and then put it all together. Because that particular one, I saw a lot of people, you know, Guy Sensei was one of the best side characters in Naruto, hands down. Like, there's nobody else besides maybe, what, Hashirama, the first Hokage, that you could honestly say that he got all his strength solely through training. Like, and what made that last fight with him and Madara so impressive is that you have Madara, who has all the tail beats. He has Rinnegan, he has Sharingan, he has a third eye, he has a staff that borderline bends time and space. He has Hashirama's sails. He's literally borderline omnipotent. And then you got this guy who's based off Bruce Lee that takes off his nunchucks and literally just opens up all hell and gives him one of the worst one-on-one ass beatings in the series. And it got me thinking, I was like, so could Guy Sensei have beaten Madara when he was, before all this, when he was at his pure mortal, when he had Kurama and Susanoo, when he fought Hashirama? And I thought about it. I was like, well, technically, if eight gave Guy Sensei can almost borderline kill God or Madara, I'm pretty sure he could have killed regular Madara too, just because on one mere fact that we got to look at here is like, Guy Sensei has prior knowledge, so he knows what he's going up against. Versus Madara, who's Uchiha's known for being very cocky and looking down on people who aren't Uchiha's, and he would definitely look down on him because he wasn't Uchiha, nor was he Hashirama. Madara would have slept on Guy Sensei, and that could have been costly. So it's a lot of research. It's a lot of, you might as well get a day to yourself the same amount of energy you take in binge watching. You go back, you rewatch episodes, you pull up YouTube, you watch the whole fight, you look at strengths and weaknesses of not just that fight, but other fights these characters have had with other characters, and you try to figure out how would they actually clash. So this is also a clash that would never necessarily happen in the series, but if we really like put out their weapons and stuff like that, you can see where they can come from.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely opened my eyes, because when I saw that, I was like, oh, Madara all day. I mean, Madara is one of my favorite characters. Like, I love him. So, and obviously I respect Guy Sensei a lot, but you definitely opened my eyes to Guy for sure. I was like, oh, okay, hold on. Maybe that's not true. Maybe Madara wouldn't just, because I was like, oh yeah, Madara is killing Guy Sensei, but nah, that's not true. Like, especially like you were talking about that last fight, I was shocked. I was shocked.
That had actually one of my top five favorite fights in Naruto. Just, you literally just got, I just love it because it's a great story. If it's a guy that's like, yeah, I'm about to try it all for this one last fight. I don't care. This is the strongest, even for Madara to say you are truly the strongest person I've ever fought. I was like, wow. I know Hashirama's sitting here like, bruh, I'm still standing. Right. Okay.
Okay. No, seriously, I was so happy that we got to see him with all of his gates open. You know, that was crazy. That was spectacular. But yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, a lot of research definitely goes into those videos, and I can tell. I hope everybody appreciates that, though, how much research goes into these videos.
People like you is who I do it for. People that would sit there, listen, appreciate it. But there will always be like that one stand fan that would know that that's the hill they're going to die in. They're not going to accept anything else. They can't possibly think of any other way. It's like one of those like super diehard Batman fans that will come up with 20 different ways of how he can't beat X, Y, and Z. It doesn't even have to be Superman. They will find a way to prove that Batman could beat some other main character. And it's like, bro, like, no, we have the facts. We have the receipts. He's human. You do know he can take, okay. We're not even going at an argument. Like,
no, yeah, that's real. So what would you say are like your favorite videos to make? Is it the power scaling videos?
I honestly really enjoy blurred content in the sense of like, well, I'm a blurred, but I really do enjoy like talking about Black superheroes or Black comic characters, or how does this character reflect to the Black community? Not necessarily just in like anime, but in comic books, sci-fi, fantasy, and things like that. Like, you know, you have characters that have been there, and they mean a lot to blurreds. And I even use Ogun from Fire Force as an example, like, or even my man Killer B. Like, I'll use Killer B because I remember the first time I was reading the manga and Sasuke went to go try to kill the A-Tails, and they end the chapter, but it's a silhouette of somebody wrapped in octopus tentacles. So I'm just like, I got a million jokes in my head. I'm like, oh no, an anime about octopus tentacles. Let's see how this is gonna go. And the next issue, you see Killer B walk out and you see cornrows, thunder shades, and you see that he's darker than everybody else. And you're sitting here like, wait a minute. That's a brother. And then he starts rapping. You're like, oh, that's a brother. Then he starts dogging all of Sasuke's teammates. And I'm just sitting here like, oh, so he actually could, because like, and you know, in anime, a lot of times Black characters sometimes get like pushed to the side, forgotten about. They're never really put on any type of like respect, or like, either they don't look respectable or like they just don't do anything according to the story. And to actually see a character go through here, beat one of the main characters, train one of the main characters, and literally last and actually live the whole series, I was like, oh, okay. And that means a lot. So I like making videos like that, that like we speak about like how this really could affect kids. I grew up being a huge Black Panther fan, and I always remember like going through and watching cartoon shows as a kid, and you literally had to go through with a fine tooth comb to find a Black character, for one. So to now see that there's starting to be more of us, not just in comics, but also in anime and fantasy and sci-fi, it's like, oh, cool. Like, I'm enjoying this. Like, this, I like talking about this, I like pointing these characters out. Those are literally my favorite type of content to make. fitness, my workout routine is probably second, because it takes time, but it's a lot of fun to do, to go back and review it. And like, you know, if I am adding motivation to anybody to work out, I'm happy to do so. Like, you know, I'm not a personal trainer or anything like that. I'm just a guy that works out a lot. But if I can motivate you to get a more workout, that's a plus. Those are probably my top two type of videos.
Okay. Yeah. A couple of episodes ago, I had one of my friends on, and he's a trainer, and we were talking about how a ton of people in like the fitness world, just the workout world, really like anime. And we're just talking about how, you know, anime characters really motivate you, just the thing, or just, you know, just the theme of pushing yourself to go harder, pushing yourself to be better. So who would you say is kind of like your motivation? Who do you look to?
Anime-wise, and I'm showing my age here, it literally was Dragon Ball, because they trained the most. Like, of the original Big Three, the Big Three about Sailor Moon, Yu Yu Hakusho, and Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball was that motivation to work out. Like, especially back during the older animations, they drew Goku and Vegeta and a lot of other Saiyans with definitely more detailed muscles than they do now. And it was like, yo, I need to train like these guys and get it in. Like, I'm talking about these individuals who train for hours on end. And that alone just motivates you. And as anime progressed, Rock Lee, Gai Sensei, and Naruto, they trained like madhouses. So that was another thing. There was this so many of them at this point, because one of the main things, I guess, in a lot of shonen animes, that you got to have that training montage. It has to be that. Gon is definitely, I know I'm not the biggest Hunter x Hunter fan, but I swear that Gon is actually a huge motivation for some people I know that like anime. Some of Seven Deadly Sins, I can see it, and not much training, but I guess Escanor is kind of or Bond would be like a motivation for people to work out, just because they want to look like that individual.
Yeah, one thing I will say, I don't know if you watch My Hero, but one thing
that was the other one. Yeah, I knew I was getting Deku, and like, I actually like how in that show everybody has superpowers, but I like the balancing of it, because it's like everybody has a time limit or a physical limit that can only be pushed further if they train. So it's like the whole series consists of this people that's like, yeah, I gotta work out just to make sure that my powers don't even accidentally kill me, hurt somebody else, or I can use them in battle. So like, I like that balance. I really do like that balance of My Hero Academia. I like Deku. Todoroki's probably one of my favorites in the million, but I like Deku's like perseverance, and like, I like his whole training and how he always has to figure out how he's going to use his powers, because it's really not meant for him, but he's like, yeah, I gotta work this out. So,
and I feel like they really, My Hero was very smart in how you were talking about, folks don't like when you just get your powers, right? So yes, Deku inherited these powers, but it wasn't like, oh, here's a superpower, figure it out, you're super strong now. But it's literally like, he has to train very hard to be able to control even just like a certain percentage of that power. So I think that was a very smart move on their part. Cause at first I was like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I like the idea of him not having a quirk. But then when, you know, he just gets this overpowered quirk, it's like, okay, that really just took away from a lot of what I thought the story was going to be. But the way that they did it, for me, I was like, this is genius.
So, yeah. Because I remember sitting there, I said, oh, he gets the powers, everything's going to be fine. I broke my arm and my leg. Wow.
Right.
Wow. That is, so what's the healing? And then even still, it's like the healing capabilities in that series, they're still running on, I mean, yeah, they got the woman that can like kiss you and heal you, but it's like, they're still running on like, no, you can still go to the hospital. There is no sensu beam. There is no chakra healing. You got to go be laid up in the emergency room for like 2 or 3 days until you're fully recovered. So it's like, no, you're still susceptible to a lot of stuff. Like,
right,
not an overpowered anime. And I think that's what makes My Hero Academia so good, is like, they're the newer generation of anime where it's like, we don't have to be uber overpowered to have a good show. Mm-hmm. We just literally have to have a good story and balance. Like right now, I think a lot of animes are heading towards the balance feeder, the balance meter, because like Naruto, One Piece, and Bleach, that little era was kind of like the last round of, let's see how overpowered we can get while trying to stay balanced in some way, shape, and form, I guess. But both Naruto and Bleach definitely skyrocketed with that one. They're like, yeah, towards the end, we're just gonna start just getting random power-ups just to add balance. Like, I think one of the things I loved about Madara was that when he finally got to his final form, Kishimoto even said, when I finally got to this point with Madara, I did not know what to do with him. Like, I couldn't figure out how to defeat him. I'm just like, crap, how am I supposed to beat this guy? Oh, and this is like the hilarious part. Like, man, I made him too overpowered. Like, that's hilarious to hear a manga say to be like, yeah, I made him too overpowered, so I kind of had to nerf him at the last second. And if I had to nerf him at the last second or just make the two other characters randomly deities. Like, I appreciated Naruto for a lot of his stuff in the series because he did train for a lot of what he had to go through. Like, he really did have to train a lot. But like that last end was just like, yeah, Hail Mary play.
Right.
And God comes down and says, hey, here's some powers because I'm God. I'm just like, oh, okay, that's the storyline we're going here with. Okay, sure, no problem.
Yeah, even with Naruto, him training, even having to do the spiritual and the mental training he did, trying to get into sage mode and all that stuff. I'm like, this man trained his ass off. But no, yeah, you're 100% right. By the end of Naruto, they were like, there's no way we can defeat Madara unless we bring in this woman who has actually been controlling. Like, I was like, yeah, y'all definitely brought this out because what else were they going to do? And then also giving Naruto and Sasuke just making them super invincible. It's like, okay. But yeah, no, I totally agree. So I'll ask you though, AOT, Attack on Titan.
Now, before I say anything about an Attack on Titan, I am fully caught up in the manga and I am avoiding all spoilers for everybody. I've taken a vow of silence with this. I refuse to spoil anything for anybody with this show. So I'm going to give as best answers as I can.
Okay, good, good. No, we are trying to provide the most spoiler-free environment. I am only caught up in the anime. I have no clue what's going on in the manga. So I'm going to throw out a bunch of theories, and I'm going to try my hardest to read your face. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But I'm definitely going to throw out some theories, though. Okay, but let's get into this episode that we just had. It was crazy. It's called Assassin's Bullet. Knew right away somebody was about to die. And, you know, I messaged with a couple people throughout the week as the episodes have been coming out. And one of them predicted, a couple of us were talking about how we think somebody's going to die, like somebody has to die. But one of the people I was talking to predicted that Sasha was going to be the one. And yeah, shook. But so to get into the episode, first off, Reiner, that fight did not go how I thought it was going to go. I totally thought Reiner was going to get, you know, some bursts of energy. He was going to realize the situation they were in, and he was going to pull it out. And no, the fight lasted all of a couple seconds. He was able to save, what's his name, Porco, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm kind of like, obviously, you know what's going to end up happening to him, but I'm kind of just, as a watcher, honestly, by season three, I was kind of over Reiner and just kind of over Armor Titan in general. You know, there were so many times when they almost defeated him that I'm kind of like, at this point, why aren't we there yet? Like, why can't we just get rid of him?
Reiner in, what's the girl name? The female Titan were my two personal favorites.
Annie.
Especially as the show progressed and you saw how they got sent over there. Like, again, I'm not going to spoil everything. I know way too much is about to happen. And I am so hyped and so concerned for the fandom at the same time because it's like, before we get into Reiner, it's like how everybody hated Gabby. And I'm sitting here like, you can't get mad at Gabby for real, because like, yeah, I know she killed Sasha, but I could have sworn 5 minutes ago, her mans was in the streets yelling, I declare war. You don't start a war and expect your homies to all come back. That's not how this world works. Like, I would love, that was to me the most, when I see fans like that, that reminded me of some good old fashioned hood shit. Like, yeah, nigga, we about to go to war with these niggas and all my niggas living. And then you come back and y'all roll 12 deep and four y'all come back and you're trying to figure out what happened. No, I would have been more mad if Gabby just sat there and broke down crying and gave up. Instead, she picked up a gun and started shooting. She's like, no, I'm done. I'm done. I lost too many people in the last few hours. They done destroyed my home. Screw this. Somebody got to get shot. And I gave her accolades, like, for what was she, like 12? Like, isn't Gabby like 12
or something? Very young, yeah. They're not, I wouldn't give them over 13. Yeah,
like for a 12-year-old to sit up and say, forget this, I'm going to go start shooting. I was like, yo, I like this little character. Now, this is a great story. And I'm going to say this because I'm also talking what's going to happen, everything else. This is a absolutely, this to me is the art of storytelling done correctly. Because it's so many sides that we're so used to good and bad. Used to that. That when we start having a series like Attack on Titan, where you're going to see a huge amount of area of shade of gray, you're going to really start have to ask yourself, like, is there really is no bad guy in this series? Like, there is no good and bad, because it's like at the beginning where the dude was talking about how the Elaian people, the people of paradise, when he gave a speech before Aaron off them, he was like, you know, they sent the Titans out in the world and almost wiped out half of humanity. That's like, he was dead ass serious. That wasn't just propaganda. Like, no, that happened. So it is like, if you really have thinking about it to that extent, would you really trust people that have already been shown to wipe other individuals off the face of the planet? You wouldn't feel too safe with them in the process. But the same type with the Marlinians, I'm sitting here like, y'all send children to war. Like that whole scene where I find out how old Annie Brett, what's the colossal Titan? Britton, whatever his name is. And Renner. Oh, I like to call him Brock Lesnar, because that's what his Titan looked like. It was like you sent 7-year-olds to Titan infested territory to do this. You're telling me you had no 3 other adults that could have been, like, why did y'all wait so long? If they were already people who had these Titans, why didn't you send them to go do it in the first place and avoid sending children? You sent children.
And I'm wondering if they always have children inherit the Titans. It, to me, it would seem like if you can have a Titan for, what was it, 13 years? It's 13 years you can have a Titan?
I think so. It's something like that, where there is a point where after so many years, you just die.
Not have, you know, someone that's in their 20s? It just doesn't make sense to me to have children do it. So I don't know if it's always kids or if that was like a new thing. I mean, I was confused
by that too, because I was like, well, Zeke is clearly older than the Titan y'all sent. Right. So if he was old enough to be the Beast Titan when all this was going on, you're telling me there were no 3 other adults that could have did this like a couple years before you changed them? Like, you sent children to war. I'm not justifying your actions, but it's like nobody really grasps that. And I think that's the one thing with Renner that I don't think a lot of fans are really sinking in here, is that this kid has been a soldier since the age of 7.
Yeah.
None of us in this country have been a soldier since the age of 7. Well, I hope not anyway. I mean, if you listen to this podcast and you've been on some street shit since 7, brother, kudos, brother, sister, kudos to you. I feel you. But personally, a lot of us watching this, like, I don't understand how they could forgive them. Like, they were 7. I'm not saying forgive them, but they were 7. This is way different than what Aaron did. No, you a whole grown ass man. You figured this out and you did it anyway. And what made it worse is, like, when Levi kicked them, nobody's realizing that nobody on the island told Aaron to do this. He completely acted on his own and they went to come get him and come back. They look at Aaron, and that's what made the Sasha thing. But like, oh, it wasn't Aaron's fault. I mean, technically,
yeah.
Well, I'm just gonna do me, and we'll figure it out. But bro, like, you just don't, like, I personally wouldn't have been mad at Aaron if I'm sitting here like, yeah, we got the Colossal Titan, we got the Attack Titan. What do we gotta worry about? They ain't gonna come mess with us. I'm starting a war. Whoa, why? We living good. We eating shrimps. We done killed all the Titans. We can go on the beach now. Like, a lot of people don't like him, but I really grew to like Armin.
Because I love Armin.
Like Armin kept the humanity of it all. Like, I think somebody even pointed out, like, if you notice as the series has gone on, like Eren's Titan is looking more monstrous, but Armin's Colossal Titan looks more human than Brenner's there. Brenner's look like, I'm just going to get this job over with and go on about my life. I'm really not. You could tell he was the main one that didn't want to do the shit. Like you could tell out of the three of them, he was like, I don't want to be here. I just want to go home. And with Armin, because you inherit all the memories of the person before you, Armin now has that guy stuck in his head. Like, this is what, like, I love that scene where he's walking as the Colossal Titan and he's crushing the villain. He's like, so this is what you saw.
Right. He's feeling all of that. And even, I mean, the moment when Bertolt died, the screams, it was just so different. You know, Annie, she crystallized herself. She was still in like soldier mode, like, nope, gotta just protect what's going on, crystallize. Reiner obviously still wasn't talking. Bertolt was like screaming, like, I just wanna go home. And no, I totally agree with you. I think a lot of the fans demonize Reiner so badly because they're like, he betrayed Eren, he betrayed. And it's like, y'all are still stuck in the narrative we were originally told. You know, like the storyline was given to us as Paradise Island. These are our protagonists. These are the people we care about. And then, you know, once the world opens up and it's like, oh, like all of these people are actually Eldians. They're all the same exact race. And really, you know, this country used these kids to destroy, you know, where you guys are from. And that's not really their fault. And even just thinking about how in Marley, Eldians are told that the people on Paradise Island are terrible. They're devils. They abandoned y'all. They're the worst. Like, you know, like you have to, I don't get how people are not understanding where Reiner and them are coming from.
But yeah, it's like, it's one of those things that I had the worst thing I told somebody, I said, you do know that the Marlinians, if there was an allegory, even though this is based off World War II and kind of a German influence, a heavy German influence, now I think about it, we would be the Marlinians. We're the ones that, I was like, we could take it back to the 2000s. This country demonized Islam, like they were the worst type of people on the planet and all this other stuff. And they're over there suffering in some areas, not all of them, because you know, like there's always areas that's doing good and doing bad. But we're being told that they're monsters, they're terrorists, they don't believe in the same God, all this other stuff. And I slipped back to him as a black person. I'm like, but they told us the same. They told white kids the same thing. Black man can do this to you. White girl don't be around no black man because he's going to sex you or assault you. We've been demonized for a long time because of propaganda and stuff like that. So the fandom got to really ask itself sometimes, like, and this is why I love this story so much, is because if what I saw in the previews of the next episode is not going to be as big as a wow factor as you think it is. It's going to be a steady pace to calm everybody down because they just went through the hype. The following episode, not this Sunday, the next Sunday, Valentine's weekend, oh, they're breaking hearts.
Really? Y'all,
I am going to tell you, if you want to come back to the podcast, talk about it, I am more than willing to, because that is the episode that I am waiting for, because
as
hypocritical as the fans were with Gabby, what's this? Episode 9 is this weekend, right?
Yes. So this one we just saw was episode 8. So this
I watched this to make sure. I'm not shocked at anything about episode 9. Episode 10 is going to break the internet.
Oh my God.
10 or 11 is going to break the internet, and you're going to see the fan base completely, utterly lose their minds, depending on how this falls. It's going to be the manga readers who are listeners, they know exactly what I'm talking about. They know exactly what's coming. And this is how I know it's too good of a story, because there are some manga spoilers out there. I admit there are some people that just want to watch the world burn. But the Attack on Titan fandom as a whole, the manga half is just sitting like this the whole time.
No, I already know y'all are. I already know.
And it's not, oh my God, it's just so wonderfully done. I have never seen, this is about to be the best moment in anime. And I oh my God, I can't wait. I can't wait, because I'm just here. I jokingly told Frankie when we were talking earlier, I said, I'm just here for the screams. I'm just here for the screams. I'm just here for everybody, because when you really, as the show progress, you're going to question a lot of things, who's good and who's bad. And my thing is, when people say stuff like protagonist, antagonist, like we automatically in our mind, this the protagonist of the series has to be the good guy. And right. I'm like, no, that's not always the case. The antagonist is not always the antagonist. It's like, even though I have very mixed feelings towards him, it's like Killmonger and Black Panther. You can call him the antagonist, but he had reasons for why what he did.
Right.
And from his point of view, all of Wakanda is the bad guy. From T'Challa's point of view, he questioned himself, but at the same time, he can't let his country go into American problems, for lack of a better word. Like, right. You know, so it is that situation of like, you got to look at both sides. That you just, this is not going to be an anime where you're going to be able to look at one-sidedness. You're not. Yeah. This is, Attack on Titan is gone from that. And I knew it was going to end this way even before this all happened, because it reminds me so much. It's like a well-structured Evangelion is the best way I can really describe it, because Evangelion really had those moments where it was like, I know you're fighting off extinction, but a lot of y'all's morals are really questionable. Mm-hmm. And another thing that reminded me of Evangelion Attack on Titan is that I did not feel safety for any character. I felt like this was a series that any character can catch it.
Absolutely. And I love that. I hate that because it's sad, but I love that. I mean, because that's life. That's real. You know, as we were talking about living in the gray, you know what I mean? It's not black and white. At this point, I just don't know. I began this podcast and I would ask people, whose side are you on? Who are you rooting for? But that's not even a question to really ask anymore, because, you know, in this episode, we've been seeing throughout the series, but really in this episode, it really shifted so much about, you know, who's fighting for what. Mm-hmm. What is everybody's end goal? I honestly have no clue what Aaron's end goal is, because, you know, when he first kind of showed up in season 4, in my heart, I was like, I don't think he cares about anybody. You know, I think he's here for either revenge, or maybe he has some grander scheme or something like that going on. But seeing him kind of get emotional about Sasha, I can't lie, I was actually kind of confused. I didn't expect him to. Well, I don't even know if it was sadness. I can't tell. It kind of sounded like a laugh to me. And then it also was like, no, he's crying. I don't know. I honestly don't even know how he feels about the people around him anymore. Even the moment when he walked in, or when he got into the airship, when they all got rescued and Levi looks down on him.
That's my man's right there. Like, if I had one favorite character in that series, it is Levi.
It's Levi?
Levi, because I feel Levi walks that straight. He walks a path and he walks it well. And he's not about to deter for that path from anybody. And despite that, Levi has seen a lot of shit, especially in the OVA that he had. He lost a lot of friends and a lot of people. You really got to sit up here and be like, I love how he just stayed him true to the core.
Absolutely.
Like, I love how he just is like, listen, like, this is my resolve. I'm not switching up for anybody. And I like Aaron has not ever been a favorite character of mine, even like when the series began, not because he was whiny. It was just something I honestly cannot put my finger on it, but it was something about him. I was just like, I don't trust this kid. I wholeheartedly wish I can just tell you, I can go back in the time machine and ask myself, what did you not like about Aaron? And it wasn't because he was whiny. It was literally because it was like, he seemed to be, I mean, he was a kid, so I chalked it up to that, but as the series started progressing, it was like, you see the descent into madness per season. And the thing is, I would love for everybody to say, well, look what all Aaron's been through. This is not a series you can really sit up and be like, oh, look what the main protagonist's been through.
That's true.
They everybody's been through.
Yeah.
Oh, every character in this is going to need a shit ton of therapy by the end of this series. If they make it to the end of the series, everybody's going to need therapy.
But I will say, though, in Aaron's defense, in terms of, like, you know, everything he's been through, quote unquote, to go from... Okay, because all the other Titan shifters, right, all the ones in Marley and all of that, they know what the deal is. They know what Titans are. They understand where they come from. They understand they're Titan shifters or, you know, the Titan variants or whatever. But Aaron, to go from Titans are the thing, they're my worst enemy. This is the thing that I have to defeat in life, right? And then to go from that to being like, oh wait, I am a Titan, like what the heck? And then once he was, you know, outed as a Titan, for the government to be like, by the way, we're gonna now use you as a tool of war, come along for the ride. I feel like that was a lot for one.
And that's what was crazy for me, because it was like when the king dude or that Aaron Keel was talking about how the people on the island used Titans to conquer the world and new devastation, I instantly go back to Aaron. I said, huh, that's weird. It's almost like y'all went back to normal. Like y'all went back, like something is missing there. Like, and I think as the series, I mean, I know what's missing. I know what happened, but y'all going to see it. It's going to paint a different picture, as it should. And this is a story. This season is no longer a story of right and wrong and finding freedom. This is a story about war. Here in Civil War. And I don't think for a lot of people who can grasp the idea of war really understand that in war, there's a lot of horrible things people do that can never truly be justified. Wow. Like I remember like a couple of military friends of mine said, like, you don't justify your actions, you survive. That's like you going in there to fight and survive. That's it. And whoever comes out winning is labeled the victor. And that's, if it sounds cold, it is, but that's war.
And I wish this was a tale about freedom. Like, I can't tell you how much. And see, that was my issue with Gabby. And it's a thing that she can't control. You know, I look at her and my saying is Gabby's lost, because I mean, rightfully so, though, you know, because again, they've been told to hate their own people. Like hearing her rhetoric about, I'm a good LDN and I'm going to show them and all that stuff. I hate hearing that. But again, that's what she's been taught. And she's such a strong mind and a strong willed character that she's going to fight for that to the end. And that's why that moment when she saw Zeke on that ship, I mean, I don't know if we're going to get more about, you know, their relationship or any conversation with them the next episode. I'm really hoping so. But seeing Falco and Gabby look at Zeke on the ground and him not being like captured, you know, and it, and you know, the enemy talking to Zeke and them having a conversation and Zeke being like, you know, when Levi asked Zeke, oh, did everything go according? Gabby, I'm like, y'all are shook right now. But to be honest, Zeke right now is one of my favorite characters, just because there's a lot of mystery around him, right? And I just think his character is so cool. And I want so badly for him to not just be this asshole. And, you know, he sold out his father and the whole revolution and all this. I don't know. I don't want it to be that. And I mean, at this point now, they talked about how they basically want to build a new Eldian empire. And that's the thing about Attack on Titan, though. They just kind of throw things out and it's like, you either have to grasp onto it or it confuses you. So one of them, somebody, I think, I want to say it was Flock. He kind of raised his fist and was like, okay, the first war, or not the first war, but the first battle in reclaiming this new like Eldian empire, we won, we're done with our first battle. And I was like, oh, so that's what your actual goal is. And then having Zeke on the airship and Levi being like, all right, did everything go according to plan? I'm like, so is Zeke really kind of the mastermind behind a lot of this, or is Aaron, or them both, or is Zeke just using them?
It's so well done. I can't even talk about it. Like it's just so well done. I'm actually trying to figure out, because I'm trying to verify how many chapters are in one episode, because I know from what I've seen in the previews and stuff, if it's not going to be the episode on Valentine's Day, then it's going to be probably episode 11. That's going to be the real, like, oh my God.
So you're saying what we've seen so far. So these past couple episodes, you know, these past couple episodes have been good. We've been blessed with some good stuff. So you're saying what we're about to see coming up is about to be...
Just put all that shit to shame, to be honest with you.
Wow.
It put all that to shame, to be completely honest with you.
Man.
It's not about to be, it's going to be, How long is the episode? Is it an hour or is it like 30 minutes?
It's like, I don't even want to say it's a, it's about a full 30 almost. About like 27, I want to say. Oh, you know what? I was also going to ask you, you know, just thinking about it kind of critically, do you feel like Sasha was the best option to kill off right now?
Yeah. Sasha, there's too much. Looking back at it, and I'm not spoiling for anybody here, there's a lot of unsaid stuff to certain characters. And Sasha's biggest connection was Jean and what was the other boy named Shaper?
Connie.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of, like, her piece was with them three, to be honest with you. There's a lot. So it either had to be Sasha or what's it, Cody? That's his name?
Connie, C-O-N-N-I.
Yeah, it had to be Connie or Sasha because it had to be somebody that was already clicked up with them. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of there's so much unsaid things. And I can't wait.
One of the things I wanted to talk about, and you honestly might have a lot more knowledge on this, but something, and this is very random, but once we got to see the Warhammer Titan, it kind of really like solidified this question for me. But meeting the female Titan, right? The episode we meet the female Titan is called The Female Titan. So me as a watcher, I was just thinking that they were just saying anything. But then I realized that's actually what the Titan is called. So I'm very confused about that, because if these Titans come from Ymir, right? Like, if these Titans are coming from one person, why is it, and if Ymir was a woman, why is it that there's one female Titan and then the rest of the Titan shifters are all, or at least male bodied or seemingly male bodied, and even when you know, a woman inherits it, it still looks male? That's confusing to me. And you know, it looks like there are woman Titans, so
yeah, because there's another one, the Cart Titan's a woman too.
Uh-huh, right.
So I'm not going to spoil anything, okay, but it is reasons behind that.
Okay.
They don't really go and explain why that is, but apparently every Titan that gets that particular Titan shapes it to, it's like how Armin's look different than Benef's,
right,
or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. It's generally just that. The same way how, like, the other Yurma, the fake Yurma girl, she had the jaw Titan, but we saw the other jaw Titan was different.
Right.
And it's literally because, for lack of better word, every time somebody gets it, it metamorphosizes.
Right. It changes.
So there's been a long, I'm not spoiling anything, but historically they've done this several times.
Yeah.
And they've shown a lot of these Titans do over the years, and there's so many designs for them. It could honestly just be the creator, honestly. I don't think there's anything particularly about the genetic breakdown of it.
Okay.
But I think it was something particular about the female Titan that I can't remember what it was that made her unique. I think she was supposed to be like one of the fastest ones, and she had like a special ability or something like that. Like, every one of them has like a unique ability that they show. Like, and that's one thing I like about Attack on Titan. It wasn't striving to be the most powerfulest anime out there. Like, if Attack on Titan was to go head up with a majority of many other animes, they would get their ass kicked. They would literally get dog. Like, God forbid if they went against Naruto, for example, that would not even be Kurama would have had a field day. He's like, so I just gotta cut their napes, that's it? Okay. Oh, I'm biting next. And I mean, like, the destructive power that we see in other anime, we don't see that in Attack on Titan, and I enjoy that because it leaves an era of vulnerability, it leaves an era of danger, it leaves an era of, like, chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the story can be told more interesting. Like, and I'm like, the anime is taking what I'm calling more the Batman route, and I'm not a big Batman fan at all, but it's that Batman stories were always interesting because he is human. He is vulnerable. He can be shot and killed. So he has to maneuver. Versus if you just throw, and I'm a Marvel fan more than DC, but if versus you throw Superman in there, you're going to question, like, how is he getting hurt right now? What, like, if you can only think of so many villains you're going to really come up with to actually make this a threatening situation, versus the more human you make it. And that's the one thing I noticed with Renner was, like, with his Titan, how his armor wasn't folding. It also seems that there's a lot of mental to go with that, because it's like Renner just seems like he just gave up. And since he's giving up, his Titan's reflecting this. Like, if you notice, his face looked more human than it used to. But Aaron's looked more monstrous. And it was like, one is becoming more of the monster, one is becoming more of the man. What I actually expect is going to happen with Attack on Titan, because I think they said they're only going to have 16 episodes.
Yeah.
What I expect them to do, they're going to have either a very long movie or two movies, because...
But I'm confused, because do you think they're just going to end after 16 episodes, or you think there's going to be a break?
No, I think they're going to end. I think they're going to either two things. Either they're going to end, they're going to pause, have a small hiatus, leave it on a hell of a cliffhanger, come back and continue, and then they're going to do a movie. And the reason I'm going to say they're going to do a movie, one, the last Attack on Titan movie was god-awful. That live-action trash was just... Oh my God, I don't know what they were even thinking about doing that. And two, I think it's going to be an animated movie, because the last 3 years, anime movies have been doing good. Mm-hmm. Demon Slayer, which was a canon movie, that the train thing did well in Japan. I'm waiting for that to drop in America. One Piece did good. And Dragon Ball, the Broly movie, did amazingly well. Like, that was the most successful Dragon Ball anything to actually hit. So I think Attack on Titan is going to take that route and just put everything in either one or two long-ass movies. Because there's a point where, sir, I'm not going to spoil anything, but when there's certain situations that happen where, honestly, the manga chapters are more action-based.
Okay.
And action-based manga is only like 10 minutes in the episode.
Right.
Like, a fight can only drag out. A fight can be take forever in a manga. Like, an anime, no, you could dense that down. Like, you could dense that down very quickly.
Man, all right. I guess we'll see. And absolutely, I will be looking forward to these next couple episodes.
Y'all gonna love them. Y'all gonna love them. It's just... Cool. I mean, when I knew what episode was coming on with Gabby, I was like, I'm just waiting for the fallout. And the fallout hit, and I was like, there it goes. I would say when Attack on Titan is going to end, the fandom is going to have, I don't want to say this, but it happens with all major fandoms. The toxicity is going to really tick some people off. Like, I can really see a lot of Attack on Titan fans being extremely toxic when this is all said and done. Maybe not as bad as the DBZ fans have gotten, but they're going to push that envelope. They're going to push it.
Man, I'm such a binge watcher. I really wish we could just get like 3 episodes in a row.
So COVID messed everybody up. So everybody was so used to binge watching. When we had to go back to episodes, it was like, that's how I feel right now with WandaVision. I'm like, look, Marvel. Just it all at once. I don't need this episode weekly thing. I'm taking it because I don't have a choice, but just give us a damn show.
Right. I need to get into WandaVision. I've been seeing a lot about it, and I'm like, I'm literally missing out. I don't have Disney Plus, you know. I guess they're gonna have to get my little free trial, and then I'll probably forget to cancel and they'll get my money. But I definitely
it is a slow start. I'm not gonna hold you. It is a slow start.
Okay.
When it hits, oh God, does it hit. Like, it really starts unraveling. You're just sitting here like, what am I watching right now? What? It's like they just baited you in, like, yeah, it's a little bit, oh, Marvel's back. It's like, oh God. And it's so good though. It's really gripping, I would say, is the best choice of words.
Nice. Okay, Shango Sims, thank you for joining me on the pod. You definitely opened my mind a lot in this combo. This was great. So tell the folks where they can find you if they want to connect and watch more wonderful Blurred content.
If they wish to find me, they can look me up on Instagram. My name is Shango.Sims, so it's Shango.Sims on Instagram. On TikTok, it's just Shango Sims, one word, Shango Sims, two M's, not like the video game Sims, guys, two M's. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you again for joining, and make sure you guys check him out. I mean, amazing commentary on all things anime comics, the whole nine. And if you guys are looking for more AOT commentary from your girl, make sure you check out my YouTube channel, The Anime Nay. And yeah, come check me out on all the other socials at @the_anime_nay. And I will catch y'all in the next episode. Bye.